Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Kawula and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Wake up, everybody. Hello. How's everybody doing?
Oh.
That was for you, Jimmy.
Oh, thanks. I'm excellent. All of us are excellent.
For all the people listening, which I hope there are people, Jimmy Paulson is our guest host of the week. Nikhil's in Sundance.
Yeah, Park City, Utah.
Yeah. Good for him.
Playing great music, right?
Good for him. Yeah. Good for him.
Mm-hmm.
I have one thing to say.
God damn it!
Nice.
Yeah. So I have my longtime friend Jimmy Paulson sitting as my guest host of the week. Me and Jimmy go back a long ways.
Long ways.
We used to sketch comedy together.
Yep.
I babysat his kid.
Yes, for 13 hours.
For 13 hours, because...
because his drunk baby's mama wouldn't come and pick him up.
So, that happened.
Yeah.
He also has my son's first birthday party.
Yes, Colton.
And that was the last time I saw him.
Yeah.
5 years ago.
Because kids take over your life.
You really, they do. You know. They do. So, Jim, what have you been up to?
A lot of birthday parties.
Yeah.
You know.
Sounds exciting.
Yeah, it's pretty thrilling.
You're a big Packers fan, so you get over that.
A little bit, yeah. I mean, it's kind of fun because I've seen that I've done a good job raising my son because, like, I'm a Cubs fan.
Yeah.
But I couldn't make my son a Cubs fan because I was afraid if I put him in a Cubs onesie, DCFS would come and take my kid away. Like, they haven't won in 100 years. So I knew he wasn't going to like the Cubs. I wouldn't let him like the Cubs. But I'm a Red Wings fan, and I lost him to the Kings.
Well, it was a hard time because he's that age, and they won 2 Stanley Cups.
I know.
So it's kind of hard to...
Right, to tell him, like, no, Yzerman was great. Yeah. When did he play?
It's a wonder he's not a Seahawks fan.
I know. Well, that's why I'm happy, because after the NFC Championship game, he was roughhousing with his buddies, and he came up to me holding his nose with a tear in his eye. And I'm like, what happened? You get kicked in the face? And he's like, no, the Packers lost. I was like... yes.
Never been more proud.
No, you are my son.
You keep crying.
Exactly.
I don't care what the kids say.
Exactly. And then he thought it was odd that I read books for 3 days and wouldn't turn on the TV.
Because the TV caused Bostic not to catch the onside kick.
Exactly. Bad TV.
Oh, well, that's good.
Mm-hmm.
We were, I drove Jimmy over here because he's doing me the favor and of being the guest host. And we were talking about the Royal Rumble. I don't know if anyone out there listens is a wrestling fan, but I am. And Jimmy is now, because of his kid is. So I don't know if anyone saw the Royal Rumble, but it was pretty shitty.
Yeah, it was, you know.
Pretty shitty experience.
Yeah, I mean, even my 9-year-old was kind of like, I'll watch a little bit of the Pro Bowl. It's like, if we're going to watch 2 fake sports.
Can we flip over the Pro Bowl?
Exactly. I'll watch Jordy Nelson catch a touchdown.
At least they give me
exactly
what I want. Scoring.
Hey, Roman Reigns has nice tattoos, and he could.
You know. He does. And a nasty bloody lip.
Yes. So that was good.
Anyway, so we have a guest. We have potentially 2 guests tonight. We have 1 guest that's here,
nice,
and another guest who may show up later. Our first guest, he is co-founder of the San Luis Obispo Comedy Festival and another friend of mine from way back, doing stand-up comedy. Please put your hands together for Eric Schantz, everybody.
Hello, Eric. How's it going, guys? Thanks for having me.
Well, thanks for coming,
yes.
Eric Schantz. So what have you been up to?
This is my first time out in
about
a month.
You've been in jail?
Just working on the festival, getting things in order.
Yeah.
Right now,
how long? So the festival is for people who've never gone to this. It's I've been as a comedian to a lot of comedy. I've been to Montreal and Aspen. I've been to a lot of comedy festivals, and the most fun I have ever had at a comedy festival been at San Luis Obispo. It's
awesome. Thanks, man.
It's such a great, it's such a small, cool little town to begin with. And the collection of comics you guys bring into the festival, it just like everyone's like best friends, and it's like such a fun weekend.
Well, I think the town, it's such a friendly town.
Yeah.
It, I don't think it would work anywhere else. And it's almost too friendly. Like, I think collectively they killed someone and they're all, like, hit the body. So they all have a secret to hide. Like, it's that kind of nice town, you know? But, yeah, it's been so supportive. Yeah. And
it feels like one street. Like, that's how small the town feels. Yeah. Like, it feels like you're on one street the whole time.
It's but. Almost, it's like an outdoor mall. It's very clean. It's like a utopia. Like, it's a weird town.
And the shows are great. So you guys are now, this is the fifth year of the festival?
Fifth year. So I have no idea what we're doing, but we're doing it well.
Nice. And what are the dates on that festival?
February 26th to March 1st.
Oh, so it's a far way off, right?
Yeah, I got about a month now. Yeah. Well, 5 weeks, yeah, something five like weeks. That.
How many comedians go up?
48 comedians in total, all varying from PG-13 to double earmuffs.
Yeah. I've done the Poison show. And yeah. There's a show they have. It's usually the last night of the festival, right? Or is it the second last night?
I added because it became pretty popular on the first year. So it's the last show on Friday and the last show on Saturday. But I host the last show on Saturday just because by then I don't really have to work.
Right.
So I can get hammered.
And nice. You do. And you
do. Well, the Poison show, yeah. The Poison show is you have to be drunk to go on stage. So it's kind of a...
You have to be under the influence of some sort of substance.
Correct.
To be in the Poison
Wait
show.
A second. So to be on stage for the Poison show, right. You have to be under some sort of substance?
Yeah. Yes.
All right. As Eddie pointed out, we go way back. Eddie doesn't do any kind of substance.
No.
But there was an amendment.
Oh, there was an amendment. The Eddie amendment?
I got grandfathered in.
Oh, is that because he was at the show. Montreux Comedy Festival?
Well, I was also in the first Slow Fest.
Oh.
I actually did the first set ever at Slow Fest. I was in the first show doing the first set ever at Slow Fest.
Was that at Steinberg? Or
it
no?
was at Steinberg. Steinberg Gallery. No, not Steinberg Gallery. No, it was over by... Because the first year we went up, it was right after the Giants had won the World Series.
Nice.
It was that year. And it,
oh,
the
that's
first
right.
World, and, so they had the trophy in the town.
And the line in was the like, oh, my God. I was so excited. I was like, because we were promoting our asses off. I see this five wide, like just a line that went for a block. Yeah.
John Huck and I were walking the show going, is this the line to the show?
Yeah. And then,
holy shit.
And then a half a block down the road is where the trophy was. And our show was empty for the first year.
It was like 300 people in line to see the World Series trophy.
Get a chubby. And I'm then, successful yeah. at this. Festa.
And then adjacent right was the empty room where I was doing a show because everybody wanted to get a picture with the fucking trophy.
Yeah, that was heartbreak because it was I was like, all right, well, so I lost the investment that I put into it. I'm like, this is – we could just break even for the weekend. And, you know, Thursday was just so terrible for our first year. And then,
but the other shows that week were great.
But, yeah, but I think Friday, like some – like a 7 o'clock show on Friday, something – happened.
Did the trophy leave town?
The trophy left.
Possibly.
The trophy left.
The show was packed, and then from 7 o'clock straight through to the end of the festival was crazy, and I actually added another show on Saturday because we were supposed to have that was the first time we did Creekside, so we only had one show for Creekside, and I ended up doing two shows for Creekside, and now they become kind of the anchor now.
Yeah, once they get rid of that fucking World Series trophy, festival took off.
Exactly.
Yeah, it was...
people like, we're still stuck in town. There's nothing to do on this one street town. There's a comedy festival.
Yeah, that was...
Well, the World Series trophy's gone.
That was the biggest psych out ever.
It was horrible. I remember walking the show going, this is going to be fucking awesome.
So you got to make a movie like that where the guy sets up the whole thing and then he thinks he's all stoked and it's like something like the trophy.
But then to have no idea that like the World Series trophy was supposed
is
to
in
be
town.
There.
Right.
Like of all things to be in a town that's like literally
and I researched
100 yards across.
I researched heavily before I did that show because I've gotten burned. I did a welcome back show in Pittsburgh. That's where I'm from, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And I did a welcome back show, first time back in 5 years. I booked it in January. Didn't realize it was Memorial Weekend. So I'm like, all right, everyone goes out of town, but I could still get some people. So at that point, I still had about 150 people showing up for a place that sat 700. I should have had 500 at least. And then, just to put salt in the wound, the Penguins got into the Stanley Cup final. Game one for the Stanley Cup final was that day. And
that was
we
a
sold.
Perfect storm of shit.
Right, because Pittsburgh is not a sports town.
No.
There's one thing I know about Pittsburgh.
Well, they hate their hockey and their football.
Yes. Yeah. No, that's fanatical. And they wouldn't let us start the show until after the hockey game was over. just more on the more. And
hockey games are quick, too.
Yep.
So that.
Oh, yeah. No, we started right on time, about an hour late. And everyone was miserable because, like, a lot of people there weren't there for the hockey game. It was just for our show.
And if you're not into hockey, you don't want to watch hockey.
No.
Right. Yeah.
That's hilarious. So you started, did you start in Pittsburgh comedy?
Yeah, Pittsburgh Funny Bone back in September of 97.
Is the Pittsburgh Funny Bone still there?
No, they're gone.
Yeah, they're gone.
Good for them.
The Improv is there now.
Yeah,
it's not the same place. But
no, it's the Improv's way, way better.
It's a barn. It's freaking huge.
425 seats.
It's insane.
Yeah, I've had some great shows there.
I've had I was there one time with Ian Bagg over Mother's Day weekend. And on Sunday, they did a show during Mother's Day.
Mm-hmm.
And it seats like, what, four something, you said?
425.
425. There were 16 people.
Oh, right on.
In the Improv.
Nice. Yeah, no.
So you definitely brought in some people for Ian, huh?
Yeah.
Well, look, I've never been there. I've never appeared at the Funny Bone or the Improv.
Well, only 16 more people have seen me there.
Yeah, I did a show there with Richard Lewis and Carolyn Ray and Caroline Ray, whatever her name is.
Yeah, it's close enough.
She yelled at me for calling her, like,
Caroline.
Did you say Caroline?
Caroline.
Like, no, I said Caroline. I looked at the tape because I taped every show back then.
Right.
Like, no, yeah, I definitely said it. You're just being a bitch.
Yeah. I jacked up your last name, but not your first one.
Yeah. But yeah, that was Richard Lewis. I was so nervous because I was the first time hosting at the Improv in Pittsburgh.
Oh.
And sold out for like seven shows over the weekend. And Thursday he goes up and he walks half the audience.
Richard Lewis did?
Richard Lewis. This is a guy, like, I was so petrified to work with him because this is a guy who's been doing comedy longer than I've been alive at that point. And just to see that happen, and ever since then, I just had a different outlook on comedy. I'm like, well, it's not him, it's the audience. Because Friday he did well, and then Saturday he just destroyed all three shows. And then Sunday he just had fun.
But Thursday he walked.
Thursday he walked half the audience.
So we are learning something here, that Thursdays is not a very good day for comedy,
don't do
right?
Thursday comedy.
Right, don't start your festival on a Thursday.
Don't start
your week thing on a Thursday.
Don't do
it's
anything
bad
on
news.
A Thursday.
No, he...
stay at home and watch Cheers reruns.
I've never seen anything like it. I mean,
or you could watch SmackDown.
Cause you could watch SmackDown. They did move to Thursday.
Yes.
And it's going to be live this week because of the snowstorm.
Exactly.
Sorry.
FYI.
Yes.
But so that's weird that he would, because you think people going to see Richard Lewis would be Richard Lewis fans.
Well, that's it too. Like they were fans of Richard
and
Lewis.
He still walked them.
Yeah, because it was one guy was leaving. He goes, "Sad to say, but you're funnier than he was." And I'm like, "Well, that's not sad to say." I'm
for
kinda,
me,
like
that's the best
good.
News I've
that's,
heard all year.
Right, I'm hoping so. I'm half his age and a little more relevant. Whoa, earthquake! Did you feel that?
Did you feel that? 4.6.
Exactly. So now you say there's 40 comics at the festival?
48.
So you obviously had to pick from a pool. So how many comics do you pick from?
We had, 350 we had to pick from this year.
God damn. Wow.
So that's...
do you put a limit on the minutes of the tape?
Well, the tape has to be maximum 5 minutes long. And I kind of try to get through it a little bit easier. Where we do a three-review process.
Uh-huh.
So... we'll do a minute of everyone's video on day one.
Okay.
And that kind of brings it down because you could tell if they're open mic.
You whack people after a minute?
Right after a minute, yeah. Because you could really tell what's going on with their comedy. If they're too new, they shouldn't be submitting yet or, you know. So, but the thing is with that, it's after a minute, out of, say we have seven people watching the video.
Yeah.
If one person in seven likes you, we'll rewatch the video again on the second day.
So you have a group of seven people.
Right. So it's so subjective. You can't put an actual score to comedy. So say one person likes it out of the seven. So we have to watch it again for 2 minutes on day two. Now you have to have a majority. So now you need to have four people like your video for us to watch your full 5 minute video for the third day, which is the full five minute review.
Now, do you get agitated with some of the other judges and being like, dude, you're making me watch 4 minutes of this hack? All right, I voted no two straight times,
right.
And now I got to watch another 4 minutes.
No, it's good because we have I call them civilians because like there's comedians that watch it, there's people that are in the industry, and then we have people who are just fans of comedy watching. And so by the end of it, now you need to get in, you need a unanimous three out of seven.
Wait.
No, now you need everyone has to agree that you should be in the festival.
Oh, so it's going to be unanimous.
On the 5 minute unanimous, and then it's a 1 to 5 rating.
3 out of 7, dude. What? I feel sorry for Colton right now. 3 out of 7.
Well, that's good for baseball.
It's not bad. I wouldn't mind.
But yeah, so it keeps it fair because, you know, because there's people that like the we'll look at technically, like, is that joke hack? Is it been done before? Is it someone else's bit? Where the people who are just fans, just they like it because it's funny.
Do you see a lot of that? You see a lot of hack, like a lot of like direct ripoffs on some of the submission tapes.
Some, not that many, not as many as you would think. Oh. I think because people are aware that this is going to be watched by somebody, you know. That.
And Dane Cook doesn't submit. Wait, is this on? I'm sorry. I like you, Dane.
I had somebody up in at Saddle Ranch. Remember that show, the Saddle Ranch?
Yeah,
that
was Mark Fry used to run that. He could be a guest here tonight. We don't know.
Mm. But I had I did a joke, and someone said, oh, Dane Cook did that joke. I'm like, are you kidding me? I've been doing that joke for however many, I think it might have been 7 years at the time. And he goes, yeah, but he delivers. I was like, so does UPS. You don't see them doing comedy.
That was a fun show, the old Saddle Ranch.
Yeah, there was fun ones. And then
well, there was fun ones, and there was tragically awful.
Like once a month, it would just, for some reason, it would just be 200 people in the room. And
It was at Saddle Ranch up at Universal.
Oh, really?
Not the one in Hollywood, but Universal.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's like a big outdoor, sort of half outdoor, half indoor.
Like a circus tent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It could be really fun. It could be, sometimes it could be like screaming, listen, someone, and then we just look at me.
Yeah, you'd have 10 people at the bar who could care less what was going
on. Sometimes those were the only 10 people there.
Yeah. Yeah.
So have you ever like been a no, like for the first minute and a no for the second minute, and then you've watched the whole 5 minutes and then finally go, okay, yeah. Like has someone won you over in the last 3 minutes?
Some of them, yeah. But it, like for some of them, like you have to, because you have so many people that it has to slam for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Like there's no, you can't have a bad joke in 5 minutes. And I tell everyone you can edit it too. So it doesn't have to be of one set. It could be from 50 different sets if you can edit it well enough.
Well,
in
awesome.
5 minutes. You know
I am
what I mean?
Going to send you a tape next year, and I am going to do 5 jokes in 5 different outfits and hairstyles. And
that's what I want. And like, I want a nice edited tape. I mean, I just want to see the jokes. I don't care if it's from one set, and because you can really get a feel for how the comic is, and if he's crushing in, you know, 5 different clubs, A clubs, he's obviously a good comic. You know, but yeah, you know, if you have somebody who's taking a minute to kind of get a laugh, I got 40 people who
have... Yeah, if you can't get a laugh in a minute.
Right. I mean,
at least one laugh.
Exactly.
You have... I'm telling you, there's probably 90 comedians who probably have solid 5-minute tapes.
Yeah.
So there's nothing different between number 48 who got in and number 89 who didn't get in.
Oh, I hope they're not listening right now.
Except that $5 bill.
But that, I mean, it's literally, I mean, there's no difference. And then as soon as we're done watching them, it's a 1-5 rating. So it's just put a 1-5 on how you think from everyone. And then we just average those scores out. And it just goes, the people who got all fives go in first. And then we plot them down. And then people who say one person gave them a 4 and everyone else gave them a 5, those go next. And then so on and so forth.
Wow. So you just do only submission tapes. Like you guys never have like a show up there where you have people try out.
Showcase.
Like well, a
we
showcase.
Have this, we have a slow case.
Oh, you do have a slow case?
You have a slow case?
Slow case at 5 o'clock this year at Creekside downstairs.
And so comics can drive all the way up to slow case, do our slow fest, do the slow case, and then maybe get into other
as
shows.
As long as
festival.
They have submitted, yeah.
Okay. Oh, so they've had to submit before, but they can still, even if they're like, I'll show you I am funny.
Right. They they have to be someone who has submitted. And it's great because some people who have done that, we've seen them and like they'll crush. Like, well, his tape wasn't that good, but his set was awesome.
That was Gaffigan, right?
Yeah.
So, specials. live.
Your bacon bit was horrible, but when I saw you do it live.
Hot Pockets. So, this guy Anthony, who's in this year, the reason he's in this year is because he did so well last year on the slow case. And then Saturday votes, so everyone has Saturday. The audience votes for the best of the festival.
Yeah.
And it's just audience only. There's no judges. I don't want to have any hand in it because the audience knows what they want to see for the best of the festival.
Right.
So we can see that for the slow case. And Anthony got like every vote.
That's awesome.
So I was like, now I can use that as a caliber for, all right, next year we watch this tape again. Now we can see, all right, I see how the audience liked them and we take them, you know.
Oh, nice.
What as far as like I know you guys get Sirius up there, you stream some of the shows on SiriusXM. Mm-hmm. You have in the past. Are you guys doing that this year too, or
we're trying to. I met with those guys in New York last year, and they had a restructuring with executives, so they had to cancel. They literally canceled the middle of January.
Oh, really?
And I'm like, man. I was like, you know, I'm hoping for them to come back up. And so I've been talking to the guy again. So he's trying to come up. I was like, well, if the executives won't put you to it, at least I can bring him out myself.
Right.
And I'll give him a room and everything like that. But The industry is the toughest part to get.
It's hard to get industry anywhere.
I paid for so many rooms for industry that went unused, where they didn't even show up. They didn't even call to say, I'm not coming up.
Really? And you got the room for
them? So I got the room for them.
But they said they were originally coming.
Yeah.
And you got them in the room.
Got them in the room. And
fucking industry.
So Eddie, guess we're going to go up there.
We're going to a free room.
Free room. We couldn't find a place. They're all sold out.
Yeah. So this year, it's looking a lot better. So we've, I have to look at it, but there's one guy who's the head of development for, I can't remember, Charlie something or other. And
well, he's probably not going to show, so why even?
Yeah, right. But he's like the last 4 years ago, I've been watching the festival grow and seeing the comedians you have, and I've been wanting to get up there. So this year I'm going to stay on the West Coast through your festival, so I'm going to come up.
I don't see why people would want to. It's such a great town. I think it's just like it's that mentality where it seems like it's almost too close to fly and too far to drive. It's like right in that like nowhere spot, but it's like it's not. It's like a 3 hour drive. It's like
and it's a beautiful spot.
It's a beautiful town.
It's a great place, and that's why I picked it. Like it's just far enough, and I picked it because of that reason. Because I wanted comedians to come up and stay the weekend. I didn't want them to like, you know. I looked at Oxnard and I looked at closer places, but I want people to. I don't want them to drive up, do the show, and drive back.
Right.
I want them to stay over the weekend, and that's what makes the festival fun. Like we take. That whole back half of that hotel is ours.
Yeah, it's great. Except for the other people that are sleeping there that don't want to be around comedians. Because it's up to like 4 or 5 in the morning.
4 or 5. Yeah, this past year kind of sucked because it rained. So we tried to stay downstairs and then it just echoed everywhere. Right. So I've got that taken care of this year. So we have the whole back officially. I think they put someone in a room back there that wasn't Comedy Festival people.
Right. And they're like, this sucks.
And, yeah. It was just every room back there was us.
Can you imagine being a hotel that's like, got like 60 or 30 or 40 comedians in it?
Yeah.
Fucking awful.
Yeah.
50
horrible.
Drunk comedians right. at 3 a.m., all with bigger egos than the last one.
Exactly. It sounds like an excellent spot to have.
Everyone trying to talk over each other.
And when you drink, comedians get more quiet when they drink.
Yes. So. They become shut in.
So when did you move out of Pittsburgh? When did you take your comedy west?
2000, May 2000, I left Pittsburgh.
Yeah, because I met you doing Ireland's 32, I believe. The old...
That was back in probably 04?
Something like that. Yeah, might have been before that, 03, 04, something like that.
I think 03 I started going to 32.
Something like that.
Like, and you have no children, right?
No.
I can tell because you can pick dates. Like, you can see me and Eddie are like, no, so was that in 2000? Oh, no, probably something. 2003.
It's so foggy.
Summer. Well, I left.
So foggy.
I left Pittsburgh in May, moved to Ocean City, Maryland to do a summer job just to kind of put money
Ocean
in the pocket.
Shitty.
And then, was going to come out here. And then things got screwed up, went to D.C., and then went back to Ocean City to save up more money to come back out. And then I went to Cleveland, and then went back to Ocean City, and then...
Cleveland? Why'd you go to Cleveland?
My dad moved to Cleveland, so I stayed there for a little bit and then was just doing kind of used that as a base and was just on the road doing comedy like everywhere.
So but that's a good base spot because you can hit Milwaukee, Chicago, all those places.
Yeah, you Detroit. Can get pretty much everywhere. Yeah. I mean, it's a little too north, though. I mean, it'd be nicer if it was a little south, but I lived in my car over that winter and just kind of just did everything. And I met Tim Mars over that.
Oh, Tim.
That break, he was doing the Cat Club.
Yeah.
And
I remember that show.
I had a Dodge Stratus. I had a 95 Dodge Stratus. Took the bottom part of the back seat out so that it would lay flat, the back of the seat would. And then I took the passenger seat out, had a plug-in refrigerator full of like
oh my God, stuff. So you literally lived.
Lived in the car. And there was some hotel. There was a hotel in Oregon where I stayed in the car because the hotel was that shitty.
Really?
Yeah.
You're like my car is way better.
Like you wouldn't sleep in a bed if you could hover. Like that's how terrible the bed was. And I stayed in the car, and in the morning I got up, went in, and got a shower and left. Because I had a nice feather bed in the back, so I had my feet in the trunk, and my head would come out to the seat, and it was all blacked out tinted windows, so it was perfect.
That is awesome.
That is.
Well, how would you, so did you walk on your dates? Because it's kind of hard. You know what I mean? Like when you had a studio apartment, it was kind of hard to bring a girl back to a studio apartment.
Yeah.
You're like, here's my bed and my fridge.
This is a super studio right, on here, wheels.
I got a mini fridge.
Right. When you go to the movies, you pick her up, you got a mini fridge and a bed. She's like, what?
Well, at that point, I mean, you had every show at a hotel room, and that's when you're meeting girls.
Nice.
Like you're like a rock star at that point.
That's true.
But, like, I'm going to go sleep in my car.
The only one that sucked is I was doing a triple run, and I had Butte, I think, was Tuesday. And then Helena, or vice versa, I think was on Thursday. So you had Wednesday off up in Montana.
Mm.
And it was negative 18 degrees. So I drove the car for like 20 miles, got it scalding hot, I got everything I owned and put it in the sleeping bag with me with the covers on top of that. And I woke up with, I guess my forehead was just peeking out a little bit, and it was like frozen. And thank God I woke up when I did, because it was just right on the very just...
It's on the cusp of frostbite.
Yeah.
Just close. Almost a black bar.
It's just your brain. You don't really need that.
So you were destined to create this festival then.
Right? Yeah.
Because, well, I mean, you tempted fate by camping out in minus 18 degrees.
In Butte, Montana.
Right.
Yeah. So I Central California, Central Coast, much warmer, much nicer. Yeah.
So let's play a little bit of your comedy so people know what to expect when they see you.
All right.
Right?
Yeah.
Something like that. Here we go. Well, this is a clip. It's called No Nazi Jokes. So we'll let that speak for itself. Here we go. Eric Schantz, No Nazi Jokes.
Good to be here at the Ice House. Comedy time. I was touring over in Ireland. I'll be touring over there next month, and I was living over there for a few years. And it was great being over in Europe doing shows. And it was weird. I did shows in former East Berlin where things went down. And less than 20 years later, I was doing comedy there. And the stage manager came up to me right before the show and said, look, you can pretty much do whatever you want. Just don't do any Nazi jokes or Holocaust jokes. Really? You have to tell people not to do Holocaust jokes. There's a little thing called etiquette. I would never start my show off with, hey, it's great to be here in Berlin. Just got back from visiting Auschwitz. Was staying down at the Crown Plaza. Let me tell you, the shower in my hotel room was bull, all right? You would never start with that. You close with that and get the hell out in a hurry. Start the car, pack it up. We got to go. Let's go. Leave it. We got to go. It's weird being over in Scotland. I was doing shows. And over there, I went to the bathroom. But they call it a toilet. It's not a bathroom. It's a toilet. And when I walked into the men's room, they had the letters WC written on the toilet door. And it took me forever to figure out what WC meant until someone told me that was short for water closet. I'm like, oh, okay, that makes sense. Because when I first saw it, I thought it was great to see the whites and colors can use the same bathroom. That's progress right there, people. That's good stuff. Glad you guys laughed at that. People are becoming a little too politically correct anymore. It's getting ridiculous. Everywhere you go, you have to watch what you say. Everywhere. I feel like such a racist every time I go to 7-Eleven and I ask the guy behind the counter for a pack of Camels. I'm like, dude, I'm not messing with you, bro. I just want some cigarettes here. Come on. Everybody always asks me, what's Ireland like? Because I was living over there for a few years, and they're like, what's Ireland like? Like it's a magical, mystical place, Ireland, you know? Like there's just leprechauns and pots of golds everywhere, you know? And I tell everyone, if you want to have a good bit of fun, if you ever make it to Ireland, go into any pub there, find the smallest guy there, pat him on the little head, and go, woo, me lucky charms! I said, they absolutely love it. I would love to know how many hospital bills and fights I'm responsible for to this day. Somebody's getting beat up right now as we speak, probably.
That was funny Nazi jokes.
Yes, funny, that was funny.
Funny Nazi jokes. So you lived in Ireland for how long?
3 years off and on, back and forth.
What's the comedy scene like over there? You did a lot of comedy over there, right?
Yeah, it was great. You get spoiled because everywhere you go, you get paid.
Oh, really? Oh my God, seriously?
It's not like L.A. in the slightest.
Oh, my God. Yeah. It's completely opposite of Los Angeles. It's the exact opposite of Los Angeles.
Yeah, it took a while because it took me about three months to figure out I was doing the jokes as an American in America, and I wasn't doing them for them in a storytelling kind of way. So for 3 months, I just bombed horribly, and then something just clicked where it all made sense, and it was fantastic.
Were you still getting paid when you bombed?
Oh, yeah.
See?
Yeah.
Man.
So not like LA.
I am moving to Ireland.
Except LA here, you get a sitcom deal.
Yes, you do.
Yeah. It's a whole other deal. But it was great. I mean, but it's funny because for 2 months, I booked like every gig, made a ton of money, and it's all euros.
Right.
So I'm just like, and at that time, the euro was killing the dollar. And, but then I forgot that Ireland's only so big, and then you have to wait a few months before you can book all those gigs again.
Right.
So I spent all that money like I was making that much money all the time. And so that I learned my lesson pretty quickly.
So like, you were in Ireland for a while doing comedy. Like, how much did your comedy change being over there? Like, did you...
A lot more storytelling.
A lot more storytelling? A lot more... Because, like, you know, like, I've performed in Canada before, and there's, like, some differences you have to adjust to.
And yeah, just Canada's like, a bit of a difference, but it's not...
But it's not huge.
Yeah, right.
But, like, I mean, I don't, like, Ireland must be...
Yeah, it's a completely different upbringing. They didn't grow up the same way we did. And then I went to Germany and did shows over there in Cologne, Bonn, and Berlin. And that was completely, because you have half expats and then half Germans who speak English. So you have like two different laughters coming in. So you'll have the expats get it immediately. And then 3 seconds later, everyone who's translating the joke gets it. And then it's just another wave of
laughter. It's like laughter. Doing a set with tape delay.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, yeah.
Yeah. So you have to, it kind of screws your rhythm up, but after you get used to it, you're kind of like, oh, okay, just give them an extra second for everything to process.
What, as far as like material goes, like, is it has to be more personal? Because you can't do a lot of like American references and stuff. I mean, do they get that type of thing? Or is
no,
it,
there's a lot of American TV, especially in Ireland, there's American TV everywhere. But like London, you know, I could kind of do what I was doing. I could talk about living in Ireland, doing in, I did the Comedy Store in Leicester Square, and I did Jonglers. Through London, and those were like, they were great gigs, man.
Right.
And sometimes you're, half of the battle is just getting people to listen, and with an American accent, you're already a novelty.
Yeah.
So you've already won half the battle, and now you just have to just deliver on the story.
Are their expectations different when they find out you're American?
Oh, yeah.
Do they think you're, are they expecting more or less? Or
well, they give you more shit.
Let's watch this guy fail.
Well, there's more heckling.
You get more heckling?
Yeah, and well, in the UK, in London, definitely. Ireland's a lot more happy-go-lucky. They embrace the
Do they
Americans.
Whistle and stuff? Isn't whistle like hissing and stuff? Do you get that?
They hiss? Like, is that like the thing?
I think they make noises in some of those countries.
London was definitely a different beast. Like, that was... But, like, then I did Scotland, and that was kind of... They wanted to be impressed. You know, I did the Edinburgh Festival over there, and that was...
I was going to ask if you did the Edinburgh
Festival. Yeah, that was fantastic. Like, my best show I had... Now, this was different because this was a Thursday morning.
Ooh.
11 a.m. show. I'm like, this is going to be terrible. Right. And I walk in, and it's just packed. Everyone's already drinking, and it was like a night... It was like a, you know, a night gig.
Right.
And at 11 a.m., and...
it's pretty awesome.
So you get out, and you're like, oh, I can't wait to go to... Fuck, it's the beginning of the day.
But I did...
still lunch.
I did like 27 spots over like 6 days or something like
That's
that.
That's crazy.
Wow.
Just because there's 200 shows a day.
But are you more responsible for filling the room? Like,
well, I got a lot of guest spots. Like, I didn't run my own shows there.
Okay, you didn't run a show.
Yeah, I got... but I knew everyone who was doing shows over there. So I was hopping on people's show. And I timed it right because Edinburgh is 3 solid weeks. It's 27 days. Or, yeah, almost 4 weeks. And so I timed it right to the last weekend when I knew everyone, their voices would be kind of tired. And they're like, yeah, yeah, just go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead. Eat up some of this time.
Because they've already done 100 shows each.
Right. It's like a lot of one-man shows and stuff, right? Isn't it? Is that
well, it's usually, it's a lot of one-man shows, but they'll do three-person shows.
Yeah.
Because it's an hour each show. And what they do is they always trade spots. So like the guy will do 20 minutes at the end whose show it is, but then he'll book two other people to do his show.
Oh, okay.
And then they'll say, all right, we'll come and do my show. And then and then the one guy I talked to did 270 shows over 27 days.
Fuck that.
What?
I wouldn't want to do that.
But it's an amazing...
I would hate performing at that point.
There would have to be 270 1-minute shows to even think about doing it.
It's not full, you know, you're not doing a full hour. You're not even doing a full half hour. You're doing usually it's, you know, between 10 to 20 minute spots.
Still, 20 minutes, 270 times?
But there was one guy...
I would hate me. I'd be like, you're a hack.
You know how much little of a fuck you would give on, like, the 238th show? You'd be like...
It's amazing to watch the transformation. My friend Rory O'Hanlon, he's an Irish comic, and he was a great comic before he did Edinburgh. Yeah. And he went over the first time, produced his own shows. I think he did 130 shows or something like that. And when he came back after a month, it was night and day... With his comedy,
that
it was just so much quicker, and it was really amazing to watch the transformation.
Now, do the comics over there, are they receptive to an American comic coming into their turf and, you know, taking their spots, or do you get a little?
No, it's all because at that point you're networking. So, oh, you're from LA, you're from New York, you're from Canada, you're from New Zealand, you know, so you get to meet all these people.
You guys don't know I don't know anybody. You guys think I'm a big shot.
Yeah. So it's, you know, you get to meet a lot of people, and if you're ever passing through their town or whatever, you look them up and say, hey, I'm in New Zealand for whatever reason, you know, and we get you a show.
Have you had, as far as Slowfest goes, you got any international people coming in? I know you had some people last year, didn't you? Or one or two people internationally, well, didn't you?
Canadians keep coming. We get a lot of, like, our
fucking
our weirdest right submission came from Namibia, and that was about 3 years ago.
Where's Namibia?
It's in the central area of Africa.
No way.
Really?
I had someone from there, a couple people from Ireland, a few people from the UK.
You should have made the Namibia person come to the... I don't care how bad the five-minute tape was. I'm like, you're booked.
You're from Namibia.
Yeah. So, but we really, like his tape, we couldn't really hear him, and the audio was...
It was on 8mm film.
And it was like water buffalo in the way.
It was on a hand crank.
It was a flip book. He drew himself as a stick figure.
But, yeah, that was the weirdest place we got it from. This year we have a guy from Algeria who submitted. It was very funny. He submitted a tape from the Comedy Store in London.
Is he coming? Did you get
him? He's coming, yeah.
Nice, wow.
So he made the cut. We got three people from Canada this year. There's somebody from Germany submitted, but they didn't get in. He was close, but...
Idaho's kind of like a foreign land. You got anybody coming from Idaho?
Anybody from the Midwest?
He's from everywhere. I mean, it's weird to watch the transformation. I mean, there's, you know, year one, we had 150 submissions, I think. And, you know, to see now we're doing, you know, 300 submissions roughly.
Well, it was weird because I did year one, and then I think I didn't do year two, and I did three and four.
Right.
And I remember year one, it was like so many comics I knew.
Right.
For the first year of the festival, like just from the LA scene and some New York con, like I knew. And then like last year when I went, there was like so many people I didn't. Like there was a small group I still know, but like you guys had expanded the festival so much.
It's gotten, like this year's the most people I don't know for the festival.
Yeah, like, yeah, I mean, it's
funny because I've had people say, oh, you're just booking your friends. I'm like, I've been doing this 17 years. I know a lot of comedians, you know.
And I only have two friends, yeah. So I don't know what
And I'm pretty sure they hate me.
And one of them lives with me and she hates me.
She's not a comic.
Well, Eddie brought up a very fascinating point. He likes to drop Jimmy. That he was at your first one and opened that festival. But and then wasn't there year two and was there year three and year four? So did year two, did he submit and the judges hated his act?
I actually didn't submit year two.
No, you didn't submit,
I went to three other festivals or two other festivals that year around the same time. Like I just couldn't afford
going up there.
Going three. Like it was like in the span of like a month and a half. Like I couldn't like, well, because I had the kid. And I can't be like, hey, Trace,
see, why
you watched the kid for three straight weeks while I'm gone? So
you could have brought the kid. You could have said he was an agent from ICM. They got a bunch of unused rooms up there.
He's a baby agent.
Yeah. Well, I'm trying to get more people up there and rotate it. And I'm if you've been in last year, it's unless the audience scored you well, you're not going to get back in on a repeat year, especially now because it's the diversity, like the comics, it's a different ball game now. It's kind of
well, probably
growing.
Becoming what you wanted, right? Like in before, you would take almost anybody who was somewhat funny, right? Because you're trying to get it off.
No, it's always funny. I mean,
I mean, I'm not trying to slam. Saying, like, you know,
what are you trying to say?
You're only 150 people, so maybe that year somebody, you know, maybe got
who
in.
Who made the cut that year?
Wouldn't make it
so
now.
Well,
in year
it's
four.
Funny because I think the cutoff. I think on year one was 3.8 was the cutoff,
right.
And like this year the cutoff was 4.6.
Right.
You know, so it's gotten the caliber of comedy has gotten much better.
Do you get hate mail from the people who have submitted like 3 years in a row?
Has anybody like fuck you?
Yeah, I got one guy who was like, screw you, I heard terrible things about the festival, I don't want to do it anyways. I'm like, well then why did you submit?
Right. Like, thanks for your $35 yet again.
I can't, you know, and that's the soul crushing part for me because I don't want anyone like.
And that was Larry the Cable Guy, right?
Yeah. Because if I could afford to take care, because I pay for everyone's hotel, food,
yeah, that is
drinks.
A great part about the festival is you guys, like, sort of take care of the comics.
Yeah.
A lot of festivals don't do that.
Well, because I'm a comedian first, you know, and this festival is something, like, because I did Edinburgh and I did Kilkenny in Ireland, and those festivals, they're festivals, they're not competitions.
Yeah.
And I wanted to make sure that we weren't doing a competition, and in a way, the Best of the Festival kind of became part of a competition, but it's only Saturday votes, so Thursday and Friday, there's no pressure to perform. I want people to come up and have fun, and I want it to be a fun festival.
Yeah.
So, well, I'm submitting next year. I didn't know there was free food and beer and stuff.
You get free food, beer. There's like they feed you guys at the after party every night. You get there's like a spread.
And then I got the Sunday pizza party, and then we have Saturday. We just added a brunch, it's a noon breakfast.
Yeah. And you don't eat during the day.
No.
So you're good.
So you'll save money on me if you accept my table. I'll put that at the beginning.
He only eats at night.
Only at nighttime.
And then, you know, Just got a free hotel room. It's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, because you could do a competition, and you probably get a lot more submissions, and you could take advantage of comedians that way, where you could say, all right, we'll do $5,000 prize win, but I'd rather spend $6,000 on hotel rooms
and
a couple thousand on food and drinks and have everyone have a good time.
What you guys do is much better.
Yeah, because, I mean, that sounds like a way. You don't want it to be cutthroat, right?
Right.
Inherently, comedians, a lot of them are predisposed to hate other comedians. You
right.
know what I mean?
Well, this cuts all that out.
Right. Because you're just up there to have a good time, celebrating comedy.
Right.
And, you know.
That's the thing. Like, I've done Laughing Skull. You ever done Laughing Skull in Atlanta?
No,
I've
done
that. That's a competition. Like, it's a different vibe.
Name drop.
I'm sorry.
That's about your sixth one
today. It's a huge name drop.
Yeah.
I'm surprised I'm not more famous.
I know.
No, but, like, that's a competition. And it changes, like, the mentality of the time you spend there.
Well, even if you're, like, because if you're on stage next and the guy in front of you is crushing and you like him.
Yeah.
You're still not laughing.
Right.
You know, I'm not adding to this ambiance.
Right.
And if you get knocked out in the quarterfinals or the semifinals, the finals happen, you're kind of like, well, fuck this, I'm not even going. Like, you don't go. Some people just leave the festival.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And I don't want
anyone
to leave.
Because they're not in the finals.
Right. And that's what kind of sucks about the Best of the Fest is, like, I didn't want anyone to leave because we do, like, karaoke with comedians on the Sunday after the Best of the Fest. And that place is packed. We don't charge anything for that. That's just... We got a guy come in, does karaoke, and all the comedians want to perform. So it's a nice way for the town to meet everybody, you know. But yeah, this is, I mean, it's coming from a comics mentality, and I've gotten some blowback from some guys in the Northwest. They were all like, you know, if you're doing a festival and you can't afford to do it, then you shouldn't do it. You shouldn't be charging a submission. And I said, yeah, but I take care of all the hotels.
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, but if you shouldn't be charging a submission. And I was like, look, I would do Seattle if he would charge me a submission and guarantee me a hotel room.
Right.
Yeah.
I will happily give you $25 to know that for 3 weeks I'm going to be taken care of.
Right. Yeah.
You know, and that's what stops you from doing something.
The thing with Seattle is, like, you have to get to the finals in Seattle to pay for doing Seattle.
Right.
Like, you don't, the prize money doesn't get to the point where it pays for itself unless you make it to the week three.
Right.
Like,
and
if
it's
you go
3 weeks.
Up there, if you only go up there and get to the semis, you're still in the hole.
And, I mean, the cheapest hotel room you could ever get, say, is $30 a night, you know, times 21 days.
Yeah.
That's a
you're
lot
up there
of money.
3 weeks.
Right. And look, comics are not inherently happy people. So if you're having a shitty set and you're like, and I'm spending $300 on this shit hotel room in Seattle.
Fuck this place.
Yeah, so I tried to fit something that was matched for everybody. You know,
what you guys do is, like, it's perfect. It's so much fun. It's a party atmosphere, and you get to perform at the same time.
Right, and it's the performance is almost an afterthought.
Yeah,
you know, it's like it's a basic. It's a lot of people have told me it's comedy camp. You know,
it's what it feels like.
You know, it's I made sure that budget wise too. I have to, like, all the comedians share a room, so there's two to a hotel room. But I also wanted to do that as a,
like, co-ed rooms, maybe.
Well. Yeah. That has to be agreed.
Everyone has to bang.
Yeah. But we do get free condoms from the free clinic.
Yeah. Nice.
Your guys' swag bags are pretty sweet.
Yeah, the swag bags I get, everyone gets a sachet of Advil, and there's condoms, Snickers bar.
And I'm in next year. I'm in next year.
The most, the biggest treat for everybody was the Capri Suns. I was like, oh my God, there's Capri Suns?
I got a 9-year-old. I'm so over Capri Suns. There's not one flavor that's...
Have you ever opened one up and looked at the bag?
I try not to look at that stuff.
Yeah.
I try not to.
Dave Williamson has a great joke about how he was at his kid's birthday party, or kid's friend's birthday party, and he's trying to figure out how to put alcohol in the Capri Sun.
That's why I carry around a Mountain Dew can, because people think it's Mountain Dew all day.
It's not.
There you go.
No.
It's Stoli.
Yeah, exactly.
But, I tried to base everything that we do, I've tried to base off of things that I've done over in Europe. And because it's over there, there's no competition. It's a festival. And even with Edinburgh, I had a few UK comics kind of give me shit about it. Like, wait, I have to pay you to submit and I might not get in. I'm like, yeah, but I'll take care of everything when you're here.
Yeah.
Where Edinburgh, you have to pay.
It's $25.
Right.
It's like.
Right. It's nothing.
Right. Even if you wait to the very last day when it's 75,
yeah,
it's still only $75.
Over the year.
Yeah.
Right.
Just order three less drinks at the bar next time.
And you're there.
But for Edinburgh, I think it's $100 or £100, I think, to just submit your show. They take every show, though.
And you work like a little Filipino child in a sweatshop. You have to do 270 shows.
Yeah.
You have to promote your own shows. You have to pay for the room. You have to pay for your hotel room.
You have to promote your own shows at the Edinburgh Festival?
You got to fill the people into the rooms.
Yeah, you're your own producer, comedian, everything.
As an American, I'm in Edinburgh, which is in Scotland, if I'm not
right.
And I got to fill. And how big's the room?
Depending on what room you book.
All right.
So I guess I would book 70-seaters.
I would book a Starbucks because I don't know anybody in Europe. It'd be like, oh, yeah, I sold out my show. Well,
there's the Golden Mile, which is a mile-long stretch on the top of Edinburgh there, and you can see over to the ocean. And there's 1,000 comedians passing out A4 cards, which is like a quarter page.
It's like
A4.
The dudes in Vegas.
Yeah, it's like they're
slapping it.
You could now if you. I did this once where I walked from the top of Golden Mile all the way through and took every flyer that was handed to me, and a quarter page of a thing. I had a stack that thick.
So for those of you at home, he's holding his fingers about 2 inches,
the size of my penis.
Those guys listening,
yeah,
Jimmy's penis,
about 2 inches thick was the stack.
Rock hard, Jimmy, 2 inches.
So, but yeah, it's they're all passing out cards, trying to get things.
That reminds me of the Mitch Hedberg joke about about the guy handing out flyers. It's like he's saying, "Here, you throw this away."
Yeah, you throw this.
Well, that's why the festival. I do a program book.
Nice.
So they have to take it, and then they're like, "There's a lot of paper here. I don't
got to hold on to that."
Yeah, I don't feel like
throwing. I keep any book, like even the East Bay catalog. When it comes to my house, it's like, oh, dude, that's like Jordy Nelson undercover. I'll keep that one.
It's funny because our first year passing them out, like no one would take them, and then the second year, people were kind of looking for them, and like this last year, we literally just stand in one place, and people are coming to us for the program books. So it's a different, it's amazing.
You might want to start charging for those now.
Yeah, well.
25 cents.
Exactly.
I'm trying to get the advertising to roll in for those that will pay them for themselves. But yeah, that's our biggest expense is those program books by far right now.
And if for people who want to go to the festival, is there packages you can pay for the tickets, or is it sort of just go up there and you check out the shows? Like
our Lexington Inn's our hotel sponsor.
Okay,
so you can go to our website at slocomedyfestival.com.
Slocomedyfestival.com.
And for our slower people that only use Facebook, do you have a Facebook page too that they?
That'll be
to?
At /slowfest slofest, and then same with Twitter is slowfest.
And that will give people all the pertinent information.
Mm-hmm. And you can get so there's the hotel deals we have worked out for everybody. I have 14 festival passes that I sell every year, and I only sell a very limited amount of those, and that gets you into any show you want.
And how many shows are up there over the 4 days?
27 shows.
27 shows.
And they're all themed and rated, so it's PG-13 up to double earmuffs, adult rating. The last show is more for the comedians where you have to be drunk to go on stage, and that's not booked. That's an open sign up. Because I can't force anyone to drink.
That gets sloppy. Right.
You're booked, and you got to drink.
Right. Here's your half a Jack Daniel's bottle.
Yeah.
Well, it's funny. People think I'm drunk when I do it. It's hilarious.
Well, the venue we picked only serves beer.
Okay.
So there was a kind of a thought to that. Because if it was shots and everything else, I mean, I'm not going to say the one comedian's name. I think year one. You'd know who it was. I'm not going to say his name. But he was on a drug. I think took some marijuana and then been drinking all day before he went on stage. He goes up and he has like the greatest set ever that I've ever seen anybody. And I don't even know if he remembers being on stage. Gets into his closing joke, beautiful setup, forgets what he's talking about for 30 solid seconds and just looks at the audience like,
I think he was my roommate that year.
And he goes, that's my time, folks. He gets off stage to an ovation.
Really?
Because he forgot. Because all the audience has been to all the other shows.
Right.
Yeah, they know who's hammered.
So they see. So kind of the fun part of the show is watching people screw up their jokes.
Right.
And the more you screw up, the better the show is. You know. So it's
the bar has never been lower for a comedy show.
Yeah.
That's why it's so much fun because it is the lowest bar for a comedy show.
Cool. Yeah. That's the show I want to do when I go to your festival.
And that goes 2.5 hours. That show.
Nice.
That's
it starts off and just people sign up and it just runs until they close the bar, right?
Yeah, until they kick us out, which is usually I try to squeeze it to like 1:45.
Is there ever a comic that doesn't get up and they're all pissed and drunk?
You get some people that like I try to like I at some point I can kind of gauge, all right, beyond this line you're not going to get in. Okay. So I can kind of tell them a little ahead of time.
The worst thing that happens is they hang out at the bar and get drunk.
Right.
Like that's the worst.
Right.
Case scenario.
And it's all us taking over the whole bar anyways. Yeah. Like in the outside area, so there's two rooms to this bar. So there's the back room where the show is and then the front room, which is basically all of us, and then a couple comedy groupies will hang out and, you know, talk.
Blow everybody.
Yeah. Yes. The only reason to do stand-up comedy
is for the blowjobs. Exactly. Remember that.
So, yeah.
That's my T-shirt.
But yeah, it's become a really good thing. I'm glad that, like, I'm amazed at how it's grown. And we, like, now we're booking a theater for the Best of the Fest, which is 1,000 seats.
Nice.
And last year I was panicking because we spent a lot of money to get the theater, and ticket sales weren't the best, but we still put in 890 seats. I think we did a 600 people in there.
Nice.
But I papered 100 seats to make sure it was full. But with 600 people, it still looked perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And you still have 50 comedians hanging out watching the show and things like that. So it's nice to whenever if there's a slow show, which
you guys start videotaping that show. Somebody up there to
We had someone video last year.
He did like a multi-camera shoot up there.
Well, have you been in a website? Maybe they've done that. Maybe
I don't know. I didn't get in this year.
They're showing a bunch of clips as we speak right now on the website from last year.
They're just running continuously.
Continually.
I think you're on there the whole time.
I'm on it. It's Eddie Pence.
24 hours of Eddie Pence.
January's Eddie Pence month.
But, it's one of the things where I'm trying to get everyone involved. And it's if I can get enough people in to work together with this, and the idea is – I don't need to make money off – like, I make enough money off of the ticket sales, which is finally – last year was the first time I made money out of 4 years. And because, I mean, it's still setting up. You're still buying equipment and all this stuff. But I want to get everyone involved. Like, if there's somebody who has a production company wants to come in and shoot it, then they can shoot it pro bono. I mean, and if they can sell it, then whatever. Fine. SiriusXM was a good help. Like, they came up and just recorded all the shows. And comedians got kickbacks off of what was played on Sirius.
Yeah, you got residuals off streaming.
Yeah, which was fantastic for the comics. And it was one of those things where I talked to Ryan Stout. He said he did Boston, and I guess he signed away his life, and Boston sold a CD, and they don't give any of those profits to any of the comics. And I'm like, well, I don't want to do that.
No.
That's such a ripoff.
Right.
So I structured it. When I signed a contract with Sirius, I added a paragraph in the Sirius contract stating, we are just a middleman. Anything that's worked out is between the comedian and SiriusXM. If it's played, they are deserving of whatever, you know, the royalty fee is.
That's awesome. So that's why you run a comic created by a comic, which is great.
Yes.
Yeah, it's not a producer mentality, basically.
Right. Or an agent or, like, anybody who's, you know, you're doing it for the love of the craft. And, you know.
Yeah, no, I love seeing this thing. Like, it's exceeded my wildest dreams so far.
That's great.
And you know, my goal is to be as big as Edinburgh some year.
Nice.
You know, and just
so people can find out all information, slowfest.com, S-L-O-F-E, or Slow Comedy Festival.
But Slow Comedy Festival is the main one. I think the Slow Fest is kind of like a hidden link that'll take you over there.
So Slow, S-L-O, comedyfestival.com. And people can check you out. Do you have a website yourself?
EricShantz.com.
Eric Shantz, S-H-A-N-T-Z.com. Eric Shantz.
E-R-I-C, no K.
E-R-I-C. Eric. EricShantz.com. Mark Fry couldn't make it. He's your other co-founder.
Yeah.
He texted me. He's not an actor.
Is this how he is all the time?
All the time.
You do most of the heavy lifting with the festival, and he just shows up on Poison Night.
Hey, guys, need a hand? he shows up 1 minute before the Best of the Fest is over.
He runs up to open the door. Oh, thanks, Mark.
It's so funny because we'll go up to do promotions next week. So we do, like, we'll stay up there for 3 days just putting posters everywhere and passing out program books and everything. And, like, every time without fail, his agent calls and has an audition for him.
Oh, I gotta go.
Every year. Every single year. It's like, God damn it.
And every year, how many of those has he booked?
With this quote-unquote agent.
Agent.
Yeah.
Okay, honey, you call when I'm halfway up there.
No, he had the Taco Bell commercial, I think.
Taco Bell one. I remember.
Yeah, he got that. He got that booked. But, he literally had to drive back down and come back up. You can't fault that. But
no,
it sucks because it's like
how it is. I mean, look, I was filming a commercial the day my son was being released from the hospital when he was born.
Oh, wow.
I'm filming a Saturn commercial downtown, and they're having filet for lunch. And I'm like, can we just hurry this up? I got to pick up my baby, and she is not going to be happy because we are not married. And, you know, then there was like a bomb threat called into City Hall. And I had to beg a cop to let me get on the freeway. So,
Oh, wow. Yeah, the last time we went up to Slow, he got a call to do stand-in for Conan. And, like, we were on the way up there, and it was like, it's not happening. Like, he just couldn't make it down.
Fucking Fry. Anyway.
But they say if you want to book an audition, go out of town.
Yep. Yeah. Every time.
Anyway, so check out the comedy festival, slowcomedyfestival.com. It happens, what's the dates?
February 26th to March 1st.
I recommend going up. And if you're a comedian, I recommend submitting. It's a very fun time. It's a very fun time. So ericshantz.com. Jimmy Paulson, thanks for guest hosting. Oh,
thanks for having me in. It was fun.
Well, you did call. You're our one and only ever caller.
Yes, right.
So if anyone out there wants to be a guest host, just call in one time and you're in the running.
Right. It's like a contest.
That's how it works. Oh, you called in? You can guest host.
Hey, you know what? Jimmy's not doing anything on Tuesdays because he listens to the show. He called in.
That's how I knew.
I appreciate you guys having me, man.
No, thanks for coming on.
It was great,
man. All right, guys. Well, till next week when neither one of you will be here.
Yes.
I'll talk to everybody later. Bye.
Bye-bye.
You're listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Corulla and Eddie Pence. Right here on LA Talk Radio.